let's get started with the Q&A, Juan, and thanks for sharing your perspectives on the complete great summary of the BRMP journey and the do's and don'ts around. So a first question is, like, you've been talking about IT, BRM. I mean, IT is a BRM and IT is a capability that needs to be serving the business. Do you think that other functions in your experience, be it sales, marketing, and HR, also have BRMs? Do you think that they are also kind of equally excited about this BRM role? Or how do you think, is it more pronounced in the industry from the IT perspective? Do you see a lot of IT BRMs, or do you have other functional BRMs also equally excited about this role?
Well, yeah, so the caveat I've got to start with is, I've been retired for close to 2 years, so my perspective may be a little out of date. I doubt that that much has changed in 2 years. But what we did see, I would say, last time I was heavily involved in this, 85% of BRMs were purely in the IT role. In some of the best organizations I saw who really got the BRM implementation right, it grew from there. And HR would add BRM. Sometimes they came up with a different name. Only HR, of course. And in one client that I was working with, they started with IT. The CIO got huge kudos for doing this, and in fact was promoted from CIO to Senior Vice President of Shared Services. Right. So he had IT, finance, facilities, human resources. So he then established more BRMs covering the additional functions. I saw others do that, but I'd say that's definitely a minority. I would love to think in the last 2 years we see more of that. I just don't know. I'm not out there anymore.
No worries. So, and in terms of the opportunities, I see a lot of opportunities in the Western part of the world. Is that any kind of inclination to see a lot of more BRMs in North America, Canada, UK, and stuff? Is it very geographical specific based on what you see, or is it going to be worldwide in terms of adoption of BRM in across?
It's a tough one to answer. It's worldwide,
right?
When I was the deepest into this, I was traveling literally all over the world. By demand, we're implementing, often this was the most common one, we have implemented and it failed.
Right.
But we still believe, can you help us figure out what we did wrong and how we do it right? So that was certainly global.
Right.
The majority, certainly, I think it seemed to take off in North America.
Right.
And I say North America, not just the United States. Often Canada is ahead of the States.
Right.
But yeah, I did a lot of work in Europe, UK, in France, in Italy, and even in Asia. At least in China was an important space for me to be working on BRM.
Right. And if you look at the distribution of when you started off BRM Institute and where we have come now, is it seeing excitement of how you have seen BRM Institute shaping a lot of people's aspiration on the BRM? Tell us about the feeling of starting something like a baby and how it has matured and grown over like a teenager, or what do you call that? How has been your experience and feeling of satisfaction of contributing something to the community?
I'm going to need a tissue here, because if I get into this, it was a miracle. It was probably the biggest miracle that I've had the privilege to get involved in my professional career. So look, this started, I had a major heart problem in 2013, quintuple heart bypass surgery. I had to stop traveling. This is when I was traveling the world, teaching and consulting and what have you. And suddenly I had to stop. I had to stay at home for 6 months. So I spent time on LinkedIn and I came across Aaron Barnes and a small group. I think there were like 20 or 30 people in it called Professional Business Relationship Managers.
Right.
So I started commenting on that and Aaron immediately jumped on me and said, "You want to co-moderate this with me?" I guess. Same thing happened with Alexander Zhuk. He became a regular contributor and we asked him. So three of us were co-moderating. Towards the end of that year, I suggested to Aaron and to Alexander, we should get on a conference call. We'd never spoken live. Everything had been done via LinkedIn. So we actually, I said, let's have a conference call. By that time, I think the LinkedIn group had gone from 50 to a couple of thousand. So clearly we tapped into something. And I suggested this phone call. The three of us got on the phone. I was sitting exactly where I'm sitting here. You can't see, but I'm looking out over the woods behind my house. And I remember at the end of the phone call, hanging up and looking out of my window and thinking, what on earth just happened? Because the three of us somehow in a 30-minute call had decided to form the Institute as a nonprofit point of focus for BRM professionals. It just seemed so ridiculous. I remember thinking, what happened? How did this happen? This is nuts. This is the craziest thing I've ever done. But it was kind of exciting. The next few months, as it came together and people started signing up, it was amazing. I mean, I've got to say, I was probably the most excited I've been in my career. Eventually, the proudest I've been. I still wear my BRM legend T-shirt when I get an opportunity like this. People in my local supermarket don't much care what a BRM legend is. So thank you for today giving me the chance to wear this. So, yeah, it was incredibly surprising, totally unexpected, although it shouldn't have been, but very, very gratifying. And still today, although I'm not active, I look at every comment and
we got to meet around in these conferences. Otherwise, we would have not had an opportunity to talk and interact and win awards over a period of time. So it's been very gratifying to kind of have you on this particular journey, right? And for aspiring BRMs, and what do you think are some of those pitfalls that they get involved? And a couple of things people say that, I don't get buy-in from my leadership team. They don't understand business relationship management. I have a big struggle in explaining the value of BRM if they don't have a designated role and title. So what do you suggest for someone? It's like getting, in a mode where they're kind of giving up hope, saying that it's all that the senior leadership team is not even looking at them with that particular eye. So what would you say for some of them to avoid that situation?
Fantastic question. And you raised all the common reactions that one gets. So many years ago, I'm on a plane out to California and I'm sitting next to a guy. We strike up a conversation. What do you do for a living? He asked me. Well, I'm a management consultant. I asked, what do you do? He said, I help people manage organizational change. You what? I help people manage organizational change. I'd never heard anybody say that, and I never thought that we needed people to manage organizational change, although my experience was organizational change nearly always fails. So I got very intrigued by this and we became friends. I went through his training, 3 months of training. So I started looking at issues like the ones you raised through the lens of organizational change. So one of the learnings of organizational change, you've got to sell the need first. and you need to be, you've got to use multiple channels to do that.
Right.
You've got to, it's no good selling need. It's no good me telling you, Sir Rush, I know you've got a bad headache. It's a terrible thing. Are you feeling it? Well, yeah, I am. I know. It's a shame. It's a terrible thing. Anyway, let's talk about the weather. That's not helpful. Right. Suresh, I know you're dealing with a bad headache. Have you tried, you know, X and Y? So I need the problem to be solved. Right. I need to sell with that a potential solution.
Right.
And then I need to sort of close the loop and make sure we're actually solving that problem. So when I don't have management support for this, my first reaction to the BRM that sells that to me is that is a fantastic opportunity. You've got your first real BRM challenge, and it's probably the biggest challenge you will ever face, because if you don't solve this one, you may as well give up now.
Right.
So think about, put yourself in that business, in the executive's shoes. What from their perspective is not working as well as it should? What's keeping them up at night? And if you don't know the answer, go talk to them. I want to better understand, you know, where are our gaps in organizational capability? And just put together a few probing questions and sit back and take detailed notes. And at the end of that, you'll have a list of requirements, bare bones. But more importantly, you'll have an ally, because it's their requirements. You took the time to sit and gather and learn. And now I can come back to you and say, remember, you said you needed this. Well, we've established this role. I need you to get behind it. So I need you to understand it. I need you to help us fine tune. You know, so get you engaged. So I think, again, the place to look is organizational change. Use some of those techniques to sell the need, sell the solution, and sell the journey. There's three parts to it. Why do I need this? What will it look like if this is working? How are we going to get there? I need to know all three. It's no good just being excited about the opportunity, about the result. I love the opportunity. I love the result. I have no idea how to get there.
Right.
And I think that little formula, that organizational change formula, applies to most of the challenges that BRMs face. So, you know, drill into the BRM knowledge base. Right. Look closely at the organizational change piece. Quick. Detour, if I may. I was engaged by a very large manufacturing global company, plants and offices around the world, to teach the BRM. They were implementing business relationship management. One of them sat in on my online course and brought me in to help them deploy, because they'd had some failures. I showed them the full syllabus for BRMP, and they said, yes, we want all of this except the organizational change management part. We don't do that stuff. No, we're an engineering company. No one's got patience for that. So let's drop that out. And I pushed back heavily. I said, if you don't want me to talk about that, I don't want to come and do this. And this was a big contract. This was, you know, several trips around the world teaching, well, hundreds of people. Anyway, long story short, I gave the first one. We did a pilot class, I think in Germany. And I said, I'm going to put the change management piece in that. Let's see how people react. They all immediately said, this is the most important part of this class. This was fantastic. And they were all talking to each other. As I'm teaching it, they're all looking at each other and they start comparing notes. He's got it why our XYZ thing failed. He's just told us why. And and they all got really excited, and it became the most important segment of the BRMP course that they went through. So I think those ideas are really, really powerful, and a BRM that doesn't know how to use those techniques based in organizational change is missing an arm and a leg.
So a couple of questions. One would be, how effectively do you think that people are setting up for being a strategic BRM? There's a lot of aspirations of being a strategic BRM, but there are their own pitfalls and bottlenecks, because your business partner is not thinking about strategic, because they're all they care about is their pans are on fire. So with such kind of a scenario, do you think it will be still worthwhile to pursue the strategic focus, or just wait for taking the business partner into the journey to becoming more strategic? What do you say?
It's interesting. In some respects, I know you didn't mean this, but you've set a trap for me, because one of the things I always say is meet your client. I use that term. Aaron Barnes would shoot me for that, but meet your client where they are,
right?
But
right.
Know where you want to take them.
Right.
So I do believe in that. Having said that, to come back to your excellent question, I think start where, you know, go where the energy is. You don't have to stand up, you know, if you've got a huge organization, you don't have to stand up a team of 10 BRMs and, you know, go forth and multiply. Let's start with one. And let's do a quick assessment of our business and where do we think the greatest need is? Where are we likely to get the warmest reception? And let's start there and establish some success stories. You know, I can come to a client and say, oh, I can show you a great success in India. Well, if this is someone in Detroit, they're frankly not impressed by that.
Right.
Show me someone in my company who's done this.
Right.
So again, start small. You know, go where the energy is. Find someone that really has the vision, would welcome the assistance, go there, establish some success stories, and co-opt that individual in spreading the word. So I think, you know, just use the techniques of business relationship management, organizational change management, to approach how you're going to deploy BRMs across the enterprise and beyond. Now we're seeing more BRMs that are externally focused.
Right. And in terms of the way this is heading to is in the COVID-19 situation, how do you think the role of relationship managers are changing? Is it getting more difficult? Because we generally are social animals, isn't it? We are kind of born to have that physical connect and conversation. So is it making a huge challenge for BRMs to be more effective in this pandemic world? And is that anything that they need to keep in mind to, you know, overcome this inhibition?
I think it's certainly a big challenge. It's also a huge opportunity. I'm seeing, I'm sure you are, on the Members Online campus, little mini stories about how people are bringing BRM capability to deal with COVID and all the implications of COVID. So I think, yes, it's a problem, but also if you approach it as a problem, you're probably going to be in trouble. You know, it'll be a problem.
Right.
No, this is an opportunity. What could we be doing in the context of COVID that would really be helpful to our business partners?
Right. So that will change the whole dimensions of how we are operating. Our final question, Dwan, is that in the whole journey of the BRM part of it, what do you think would be the future look like for BRMs, right? I mean, you would have had several years of it. And what is your forecast in terms of the BRM role, capability, and discipline? I mean, what does the future look like? If someone was aspiring to be a BRM because they like what they do, but they're not very sure about future, what would be your forecast for people to get that resounding yes that they are in the right direction because they heard from a legend based on the experience that this is what will unfold in the next years to come over?
It's a killer question. I'll tell you why. So when we were putting Institute together, either Aaron or Alexander came up with that question. And I said, the BRM role is going to disappear. For BRM to be successful, they have to follow the mantra, teach them to fish, so they will feed themselves for a lifetime.
Right.
And if you believe that and you follow that, the BRM role will eventually disappear. Now, the reality is, if I could draw a curve, is asymptotic to disappearance. It never disappears, but that's where it's going.
Right.
And the BRM has to continuously reinvent what they're bringing to that role in order to be able to follow that curve. But again, if I think that if I'm as successful as a BRM, what I need to do is to eliminate the need for me.
Sure.
And I learned years ago, when I was a working man, that any time I tried to eliminate the need for my job, I had another better job. Nice. You know, there was always more. Executives love people who eliminate work.
Right. Absolutely.
And we'll promote them to higher order work. So,
absolutely. I think that's spot on, Juan, because I think we have to make sure that we exist by delivering value. And we make sure that we create more leaders, we create more people who would kind of carry on the baton so you can do something more interesting, more lovely as we start to get into this whole journey. I mean, that's the whole logic of making this work. I mean, it's been such a delight, Juan, to have you at this BRM Braunbach session. I've been so much happy and delighted that we strike the conversations, even there you are in your retirement period, because your wealth of knowledge and wisdom is phenomenal. And I've read your book, and it is one of the most recommended books. And we will put the link to people to have a read if they have any questions, because frankly, it brings in all your real world experience that people can look at this as a ready reckoner and make sure that they take their journey forward. So thank you so much for coming today and sharing your insights. I know that our viewers will be pretty excited and will be happy to know more about the book. Now we have opened it up for viewers. Yeah, thank you so much, Juan.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for those comments. Thank you for reading the book. And thank you for setting this up. Again, for one who hasn't given this a lot of thought in 2 years, it was very exciting and a lot of fun to be back in it.
Thank you so much.
All right. Take care.